This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferrick.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Our next guest has spent a career fighting the status quo.
He's arguably the most well-known libertarian in America. He's been called by supporters a champion for individual liberty, a modern-day Thomas Jefferson. He's taken on government intervention, ranging from the Federal Reserve to student loan programs.
Now he's taking on public education. Ron Paul is a former 12-term congressman from Texas and a three-time presidential candidate. His new book is called The School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System. Congressman Paul, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, you've spent a lot of your career taking on government institutions. So why did you choose to confront education now?
Well, it's something I've been interested in for a long time, and I think education continues to get worse. But over my whole political career, I've talked a lot about education, believing that there aren't very many political solutions, the way Washington works. But Washington is a consequence of what the educational standards are. If you have people being taught one set of standards from grade school all the way up through college, they're going to believe in certain issues and what the role of government ought to be. And I've always believed that if you want to take on anything that you think Washington is doing wrong, you have to get people educated. A good example of this could be the Federal Reserve System. Nobody really paid any attention to it, yet I considered it very, very important. But I wasn't the kind that worked my way up through the seniority system in Washington and traded votes and that sort of thing. But by going outside of Washington, going to the universities and talking to the people interested in this, all of a sudden, with the slump in the economy, the Federal Reserve has become a very important issue. And they, those individuals who heard about it, put pressure on their congressmen. And the Congress actually has come around a bit, and we voted on it twice in the House to audit the Fed, and it passed both times. So that is what I believe in strongly, that education plays a key role. And after getting out of Congress, I thought, well, you know, several people came to me and said, you know, really the wave of the future is education over the internet and homeschooling and the different options that we have rather than what's going on in the regular school system, because the results are so bad and there's such a uproar about how badly, you know, things are going.
And one of the things about education right now is that there's so many conflicting notions about what the goal of education should be. What do you see as the goal of education?
Well, quite differently than what's in the public school system. I think in that system, it seems like the goal is to get a degree and get through school no matter what, but not have a plan. And they end up with a lot of people getting degrees, and because of the extra funding and subsidies, you know, there are a lot of people who get these degrees, but they're not well motivated. They don't have a plan. The economy weakens. The individuals coming out of college have debt. So from grade school on up, it just seems to be a failure. My goal is that, especially, you know, in the grade school and high school, will be to approach it differently and first get people to understand what a free society is all about, what liberty means and what responsibility means.
Well, how do you approach it differently?
Well, the first thing is the conditioning that we've had, you know, for 100, 150 years is to condition the American people to believe that the government has a significant role in our lives, that the government has a significant role in the economy, and our government has a significant responsibility around the world. So they're taught intervention in all these areas, that we're responsible to go in and solve all the problems around the world, and we have an economic system which is based on intervention, which is called Keynesian economics, and it's failing. The economy is not very healthy, and this last recession is still with us. And also, people are sick and tired of, you know, the government not protecting our civil liberties. Just look at the uproar now once they found out what the government is doing with NSA. I mean, they have to know every single thing that we do, and people are getting annoyed with this. So a freedom system and the freedom philosophy says the individual is important. The individual should have the responsibility, not the group, not the state. And this is completely different. Responsibility is not for the government to make sure we get an education. Responsibility is on us and our family and our churches or whatever, but not the government, because they have failed at just about everything they've done.
Well, you're a proponent of homeschooling, and you see that as one way that the individual can take responsibility for their child's education instead of the government. And I guess the obvious question there is who's going to quit working in order to educate the kids? Most people, especially in this difficult economy, they may not have that luxury.
You know that is right, and that is a challenge. And I talked this over with my wife. Our kids are all raised. And they all went through public school, but if the conditions were like they were today, I said, do you think we'd homeschool? She said, probably not. She wasn't inclined to, nor was I, because I was so busy. I don't think everybody's going to be homeschooled. We're sort of targeting with our plan to go up to about 20%. Those individuals who want to have this responsibility are self-motivated and self-starters, and they can work this way and become leaders in a community. But they have to understand history a little bit differently. They have to understand economics differently. They have to know what the Constitution says and our traditions have said about our role around the world. I mean, we're in 130 countries. That's not our tradition. We don't need to do this, but it's accepted because that's what we've been taught. And I'd like to participate in trying to get people to at least think that there is an alternative. And it's getting easier to do this because everything seems to be failing around us. The school system is failing. Our medical system is messed up. The foreign policy is in shambles. And people are starting to recognize what a mess the Federal Reserve has made out of our economy. So there's an open door there and for us. And I think that there should be competition. There shouldn't be a monopoly on this. It shouldn't be run from the federal government on down. And, you know, now they're just moving along, Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans gave us No Child Left Behind. And now they're talking about the core curriculum. They're moving continuously in the direction of more centralized control. And most of us in our group, the Freedom Movement, believe that things should be local and individualized and family-oriented and based on self-reliance rather than depending on the government to take care of us.
Now, getting back to the 20% that you say could be homeschooled, what about the other 80% of kids that aren't homeschooled? What happens to them?
Well, they're going to be in the system that we have today, until somebody else comes up with a better school system and modifies that, which would mean that you would have to get the federal government out of the way. But that's not easy. I can't wait for that. I mean, generations, we've been going in the wrong direction, and it's going to get, you know, a lot worse until we go bankrupt. The schools now depend on federal money. The federal government has no money. You know, all they have is debt, and they borrow money and they print money. So it'll be self-limiting because this system that we have where we think that you can borrow endlessly and that you can borrow as much as you need, and if you don't have enough, you just print the money. Well, that is a foolish notion, but that's what's going to happen, and those people in the schools are going to have a lot of trouble because every year they get more money in the public school system and it goes into administration.
Now, you're talking about getting kids to think freely, and you were brought up, not brought up on, but you've spent a long time learning about libertarian values and pursuing that. One of the things that schools, I think, would say that they do is that they bring a variety of perspectives and the goal is to try to teach the child critical thinking so they can make that choice. Should children be given a variety schools of thought?
See, I don't think that's happened. I think that almost everybody that leaves the system, has a belief that government has this major role, and that's why 95% or 98% of the members of Congress believe that's the responsibility of government. It's not the responsibility of families and individuals and local government. It's always the responsibility of federal government. So, no, I don't think they have produced this. I've often said that I had natural tendency to be very freedom-oriented, and then I think it was beaten out of me by the system. So as I went through schools and the movies and the press and TV, everything said, no, you're not it. The government has to do this. But then I went through a period of time of searching to overcome that obstacle, and it was very, very hard. We didn't have an internet. It was hard to find the books. There were very few think tanks. But I finally found a few and found the right books to read and study. But it was in spite of what the government gave me. The government always got in my way until I finally discovered Austrian economics and libertarianism. And lo and behold, it was very similar to what the founders set up for us. You know, the Constitution is very close to what I'm talking about because they didn't write in the Constitution that we could have a Department of Education, you know, those kind of things. And we would like to... In this program, you know, teach kids that that there is a different system, that the status quo isn't working well, and it's really not part of our traditions.
Now, going back to that question of responsibility for education, you rest it largely with the family. And some families, you know, they're equipped to create good educational environments for their kids, and others may not be. There may be a disability in the family, absent parents, what have you. Does society have a responsibility to those kids?
Not society. Society. Who is society? If society is always responsible, that just means that you send your elected official to go and take it from your neighbor. Society is somebody that has to pay for it. But whoever controls society, whoever is in charge, and that's always political. That's a political football. And whoever has the strongest lobbyist right now, society is taking care of the kids in public schools. And the NEA is the strongest lobbying around, and they get all the money they want. Washington, D.C. is a perfect example of what happens. That is a federal city, and we have that responsibility. But it's a lousy education. There's more crime and guns and everything else. It's such a mess. But every year they come back to the Congress and said, well, we're having a lot of problems. We need more money, and money is not the answer. These homeschool kids are getting educated for about $1,000 a year or less, and they're spending $15,000 or more in some of these public schools, and the results aren't very good.
We're speaking now with former 12-term Congressman from Texas, Ron Paul, about his new book. It's called A School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System.
We'll take a look at the headlines, then we'll be back with more on schools and politics with Ron Paul. You're listening to Central Time.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time. We continue our conversation now with Ron Paul about his new book, The School Revolution, A New Answer for a Broken Education System.
Yeah, we've got a caller on the line. Let's take Michelle from Green Bay. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I have a question. Where's our responsibility to one another? Why is the individual the highest good? In my tradition, my religious background, the way I was raised was that we have an obligation towards one another in this society, and we can't just look out for ourselves and our nuclear families, but that we have to think about the well-being of people that we don't even know for the good of our society. And I don't hear any room for that. And I would be appalled if my children were learning in school the kinds of things that Ron Paul is espousing about championing the individual over anything else.
All right.
Where's our?
No, I think very much what she says is very true, because I think it would be a terrible society that where there was no concern. And where I draw the line is that concern and humanitarian instincts is an individual instinct, and governments don't do a very good job because governments end up being corrupted. The people who have the most money get control of it. The lobbyists control this, so it's all well-intended. But no, the individual is responsible for oneself. The family is responsible. People should have humanitarian instincts. And I agree. The people who disagree with me now, like the lady, believe that they have humanitarian instincts and I don't. But what they can't defend are the results. I mean, they can't defend the results of this educational system. They can't defend the results of our foreign policy, where the assumption is that we have to have this instinct to take care of the world and police the world. Look at what's happening around the world. And this humanitarian instinct of spreading this goodness, it drives these people who tell people how they should run their personal lives, their sexual lives, their social lives, their religious lives, and they get involved, then all of a sudden they have people do things that aren't very good. So I think her instincts are good, but I think it has to be done with voluntarism and no coercion and over force, where the public school system is based first on compulsion. Everybody's, you know, compelled to go to school. Then everybody has to conform in school. And then they destroy curiosity and creativity by the way they regiment the school. And I think it destroys this whole instinct. If you depend on the government to do it, you have to give up your liberty in order for the government to take this role of the parent. And that's what I don't want. But I have firm convictions that the world would be a better place if we didn't use government coercion to achieve the goals that she would like to achieve.
As I understand it, you're happy with your education. You were prepared. You went on to medical school. You've been a doctor for many years. And I assume that your schooling prepared you for that medical degree. And you're talking about, you know, for 20% of kids, taking them out of school, placing them in the hands of their parents who aren't, for the most part, trained teachers. Isn't that, you know, doing them a disservice when you're taking the professionalism out of education?
Well, compared to what? Some people aren't cut out for it. I wasn't cut out to teach at home. But if some parents are and they're sick and tired of the danger of being in school and exposing their kids to drugs and violence and a poor education, then, you know, it's not very difficult. So if you don't think parents can do it, and some of us don't want to do it, they don't do it. So it's a voluntary thing. But the results are just overwhelming right now. It's cheaper. It's better. These kids are doing so much better. Some of them are getting into college when they're 15 and 16, doing quite well. But, you know, I did point out that the public school system that I have, although I got through it, it was, you know, it was almost in spite of it, because when I wanted to learn sound economics, I had to really search because it wasn't taught. So the people who say, no, we don't want to put so much reliance on a free society and on this freedom philosophy, they can go elsewhere and they can have a home school that teaches them authoritarianism and not voluntarism. And that would be free under my system. My system allows, you know, total choices to be made. It's what I reject is the coercion by a few who say that we have to have the kind of foreign policy we have, that we have to have the policing of personal habits, like what the drug war has done to us. What a devastation from this type of motivation. And also the results of the economy and the financial system now is the problems we have there are only beginning, and people think we're in a rough recession right now. Well, if they understood Austrian economics, they'll realize why the correction is not over. It hasn't really begun yet.
Now, we're running short of time here, but I do want to ask you, something you hear from people who might disagree with your policies is, you know, I respect him for knowing what he believes in. What do you think that says about politicians today? Is it rare that they're driven by personal conviction?
Only a few times, and this is where the ones I found I had the most fun with in Congress. And that is, if I could find an honest, constitutionalist, conservative libertarian, I could work with him. And if I could find a progressive Democrat who was honest about the issues, like a Dennis Kucinich and others, I would work with them because they would agree with me on the foreign policy and they would agree with me on civil liberties. But where the real annoyance comes from is this dedication to the partisanship. It's, you know, when it comes to the important issues, the parties are exactly alike. You know, just recently, you know, the question about whether we should start bombing and doing things in Syria, Republican and Democratic leadership agreed with it. When it came to reining in NSA, guess what? The Republicans and the Democrats both agreed with that and worked hard to keep that amendment from passing. But now there's a growing number of a new coalition coming together with progressive Democrats and libertarians on the issues that we agree with. And I find that very encouraging. This whole issue of partisanship, it's a pretense that there's a major difference between the two parties in these elections for president that make a big difference. You know, everybody was hoping that, you know, our current president would be less authoritarian, you know, on the drug war, and that he wouldn't be as militant overseas. And he's the one that says we have to start bombing another country. And conservatives, they're supposed to cut back on spending, and they go in and they like to spend money like Democrats. So there's a lot of frustration there on the partisanship, which makes no sense to me.
Well, Congressman Paul, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with former Congressman and 3-time presidential candidate Ron Paul. His new book came out yesterday, and it's called The School Revolution, A New Answer for Our Broken Education System.
Well, coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll talk with the captain of the Madeleyn Island Ferry Line on our Hidden Wisconsin segment. I've been on the ferry there, Veronica. You?
I've been on the ferry in lovely, calm waters. I'd love to hear what it's like in winter or, you know, in the fall when you might get a little bit of chop on the ferry.
It may be hard to park that thing, is my understanding, but we'll get the details from him. And this is one I know is close to your heart. We're going to hear about the hidden world of mushroom hunters who harvest fungi from the woods for cash. I'd be really careful about that. In fact, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't know what to pick.
That's probably a smart thing. We'll find out about the people who do know what to pick tomorrow on Central Time. And don't forget, if you want to comment on what you've heard today, you can head over to the Central Time Facebook page and leave us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. This is Central Time.